Say it's Greg's birthday. It's not my birthday too, yeah. They say it's Greg's birthday. He's gonna have a good time. Greg Show.
From a desk in the Yay Network Studios, where an actual radio show happens. It's the Greg and Greg Show with Greg. And, of course, Greg. Take it away, Gregs.
Hey, it's Greg and Greg Show. Greg Jakes.
I'm Greggles.
Let's get into the events of this weekend.
Greg Jakes' birthday.
So here's how the day went. We had to take the kids over to meet up with Erica's mom over in Weatherford and to pick up a table. Like a little bitty old cabinet-type table. And we put that in the back of the car, and we got rid of the kids, and we drove over to the Omni. Now, my idea was when we pulled into the valet, when they opened up the back of the car, instead of getting my bags, I was just going to pull the table out and take it upstairs with me. They're like, is there anything else? You're like, nope, this is all I brought. You don't see any humor in that. You're a jerk. So... So anyway, I didn't grab the table.
Good.
I didn't take it inside of the hotel. So
good.
Anyway, got over to the hotel, kind of chilled out for a little bit. Ace Ventura came on.
Oh, so one or two?
Number one, the first one.
Laces out, Dan.
And then, but we didn't have much downtime there, so then it was time to go eat. So we were going to eat over at this place called Sundown at the Granada, which is where we had our Christmas party this past year. My buddy Patrick is the executive chef over there, so... We went in, it was happy hour, so we had some drinks. Patrick cooked for us, you know, had some chit-chat with him. He's on a TV show called Cutthroat Kitchen. It's on the
Cooking that's
channel.
That new Alton Brown show.
Yeah.
I like that guy.
Yeah, so Patrick's on that show. About 12 Shiner Box in, here comes the little cake. Patrick brings the cake out. We sing happy birthday just to ourselves. And then it's time to bounce.
Okay.
Jump in the cab, head on over to the Twilight Lounge.
Not spelled the way you'd expect it to be spelled.
Not T-W-I-L-I-G-H-T.
No, not at all.
T-W-I-L-I-T-E.
Twilight.
Twilight, which is owned by another buddy of mine, Danny Bayless, the Ticket's own Danny Bayless, producer extraordinaire of The Hardline, and he has a really kick-ass bar.
Agreed. Good mixed drinks, good beer selection, very chill. I like that kind of bar. I don't like douchey bars. I don't like clubby bars. I don't like bars that are so loud you can't hear yourself think.
It got busy, but it didn't get packed. And that's what I love about places like that. And I, you know, that's kind of why we picked it, because I know that Danny's place is not going to attract the super uber Dallas douche to come in. It's going to be a good, chill crowd, and everybody's going to come in and have fun. You're not going to have to worry about many fights.
Well, we almost had to worry about fights, but we'll get into that in a few seconds.
Yeah, so it was just a, I think it was a good gathering of old radio buddies. Michelle Rodriguez was there. Tom Flakeboy Gribble was there. Groobs was there. Donnie Baseball was there. Jose made it. Paul. Reggie. And one of the things that I love the most is the fact that my parents come out. And my mom and dad were probably the first people to walk into the Twilight Lounge.
Nice.
So there was a couple people there, and, you know, they know. They're older. They don't really fit in. It's a hip crowd. So they're like, we're just going to go sit outside. So they go outside, and I go out, and I hang out with them for a little bit, and finally we persuade them to come inside.
Which was great. I came in about that time. I live maybe a five-minute walk away from the Twilight Lounge.
Did you walk down there?
Yeah.
Awesome.
I'm right next door.
That's so great.
As soon as I get out of my house, I can be in Deep Ellum.
That's great.
I love where I live.
That's awesome.
But let me recap my day real quick
'kay.
Before I get into the events of the evening. I woke up at 8 in the morning to get on a flight to come back here. Flew in to Atlanta, then back to Dallas. I got home at 5 o'clock.
You got stuck on a plane for a little bit, though, didn't you?
Well, here's the thing. When I'm getting on the plane in Atlanta to come to Dallas, at the gate, the person goes, we've just been notified that there is a piece of metal, not said like that, obviously, but there is a piece of metal in one of the tires, so we're going to hold off boarding. where the woman next to me and I just do this. You look right at the person and you just go. So we wait a couple minutes. All of a sudden, lady comes back on. She goes, well, I've just been notified that it's not that big a deal. That there is a piece of metal in one of the tires.
That's not that big of a deal.
On an aircraft.
So when the plane lands
on
and that
giant
shard.
Flying bomb.
When that thing, when that tire hits and that shard.
Explodes.
Explodes and the tire goes out and the landing gear, the nose of the plane hits, it sparks, it catches the gas on fire and you explode, no big deal.
Yeah. So it wasn't that big of a deal, apparently.
Okay.
I am still alive, so I guess it wasn't that big of a deal.
Congratulations.
But when we got on the plane, I just went, I don't care. I just want to either make it to Dallas or be dead at this point.
Because it's not that big of a deal.
No. So, get in. Something about being on planes makes you so tired.
Yeah.
So I got home and I napped hardcore.
I wonder if it's just the massive intake of, like, fresh oxygen they're pumping in there.
I don't know if it's the fresh oxygen or the recycled people air that you're getting.
True.
It's not so much fresh oxygen as it is recycled people air. You're in a giant flying bus with the worst people on the planet.
They're just recycling the rhino virus through the place.
Bird flu. So I take my nice long nap. I wake up, get ready, and I wander or meander over to the Twilight Lounge. I walk in, and there you are. And Erica is dwarfing me. She looked like a giant, a big orange giant.
Pink.
It was pink. I looked orange to me.
Yeah, it's just the lighting.
Because she's this.
And she's not
going to
like
taller.
The fact that you said a big pink orange giant.
Well, I know that. And I'm just ribbing her a little bit.
My wife is super tall.
She is really tall. And I never realized how tall she was until she is like a whole head above me. And I'm staring up at your wife like, you're very tall.
The pictures that we have of her and Groobs from that night. Groobs is our other little buddy who used to work over the ticket, and he's a small fella. Mm-hmm. Those are pretty funny pictures.
Yes.
So Greggle shows up. I'm about three sheets to the wind at this point already. And I introduce him to my family.
Greg's mother walks up to me. She goes, hi, Greggles. Nice to meet you. I'm Greg's mother. And I shake her hand and I go, hi, I'm Greg's hetero life mate.
Which they thought was absolutely hilarious. And my sister is, she's become the Greg and Greg Show's biggest P1.
Mm-hmm.
She listens to every episode. She's gone back and listened to the very first. Like she's gone all the way through the entire catalog.
She's gone through the G&G catalog.
She's gone back to March and started listening. So anyway, she was super excited and she was blowing me up the night before. Is Greggles going to be there? Is Greggles going to be there? I'm like, yes, Greggles is going to be there. I'm like, why would he not be there? Unless you blew up in an airplane.
I mean, if the metal piece blew my plane up, I wouldn't be.
Yeah. It would have been a sad day.
It would have been very sad.
Not for you, because you wouldn't have known.
I would have been gone.
Yeah. But we would have been sad.
Yeah.
That you blew up in an airplane on my birthday.
That would have been really bad.
Man, I'd have to think about that every birthday.
Mm-hmm.
For probably about another year or so, and then I'd forget.
Then you totally forget about me.
But, you know. So anyway, so Greggles meets the family. He's hanging out with them. We're taking funny pictures.
Mm-hmm. Your family adopted me,
yeah,
by the way.
Yeah, Greggles has, every picture that I took with my family, I was then substituted by Greggles, and they took the exact same picture.
And hey, it was never my idea. They all went, no, Greggles has to do it. I think they might like me more than they like you.
So at one point, we're sitting there in one of the booths, and it's me and you and my wife and Michelle and Tara and maybe Julie, Rob's wife. Yeah. I can't remember who all was sitting with us. But anyway, the booth next to us was where my family was sitting, my mom, dad, brother-in-law, and sister. And out of nowhere, these three guys come walking in, and they are the aforementioned douchey-looking group of dudes.
Mm-hmm.
One is a gigantic, huge person, probably 6'5". Maybe 270 pounds.
Just a
giant
man beast.
Giant guy. The other one was kind of quiet and normal looking. Mm-hmm. And then there was the really outspoken guy.
Mm-hmm.
And we find out that all three of these dudes are from Long Island.
They lived on Long Island.
And at one point, the big giant tall guy is dancing.
Mm-hmm.
And he turns and he's dancing in front of my family. Mm-hmm. So he turns and he looks over and he's like, that's going to be like $10. And so I couldn't really hear what they were saying, but I just thought that they were talking some mad smack to my parents. So mm-hmm. that's when I kind of diverted my attention from your story over to them, mm-hmm. and I realized that they're just being idiots. So I get up and go over there, and the guy's like, hey, I'm from Long Island. And he's like, it's your birthday. So he gives me this big hug, and then he starts, you know, telling me about why they're there.
He molested my face.
He did. He got all up in your face.
He touched it.
That's all he touched,
right?
In a
strange way.
He touched your face. That's
it, right? A lot of me.
There's one picture of...
Love you, Jimmy Trevino.
There's one picture of you, mm-hmm. my whole family, mm-hmm. and then this guy mm-hmm. squatting down next...
Sneaking in.
Yeah, squatting down next to Erica, and her face is priceless. She has the look of complete disgust, like, oh my God, who is this guy? Mm. And of course, you're making your dumb face.
I always make dumb faces
as you
pictures.
And Erica are reaching across the table and holding hands.
Yes, because I am also her second husband and the missing Gibbons.
So you got all that going on. And then at one point, I don't know what the conversation was that was happening at the table with this guy and my family.
Didn't he kiss your mom?
He tried. We'll get to that in a second. At one point, somebody said, what could be worse than that? And my dad said something like lacrosse or hockey or something. And the guy just straight up goes, no, masturbation. You know, these are my parents.
Yeah.
And masturbation talk around my parents is...
They're a lovely
awkward.
Older couple. Texas, they're very sweet people.
They don't need to be exposed to the Long Island guy yelling masturbation in their face.
Although, we did talk about you pooping on the floor.
Well, that happened at one point when I was probably 6.
And then you kicked a hole in the wall.
Look, I got mad because my sister was making fun of me. Look, it was a full-on straight-up shart. It was a shart. There's nothing you can do about it.
So the whole night, everybody kept thinking you were going to poop yourself.
Yeah.
Which, I don't know why we thought that, but we all did.
Something that I did 30 years prior.
Yeah, that you
to that
pooped
night.
On the floor.
Yeah.
That you would do it again. But yes, these Long Islanders...
They kept trying to hit on my mom. Of course, I'm willy-nilly. I'm all over the place, so I'm not around the whole time. But mm-hmm. I guess it was pretty funny because he kept being like, hey, the one guy, the instigator, yeah. Not the other two, not the giant guy and not the regular guy, mm-hmm. but the guy with the really nice teeth from Long Island.
Long Island.
He kept trying to hit on my mom. And then at one point, I guess he reached over and tried to kiss my dad. And I don't know if he was going for the mouth. Or what he was doing, but my dad, like, held his fist up, and the guy grabbed my dad's fist and kissed it and was like, this guy's old school.
What happens?
I don't know. Like, what goes on in somebody's brain when they walk into a bar mm-hmm. and they see just this sweet older mom and dad hanging out?
Hey, I'm going to mess with them. That's what goes on.
Well, at least my parents are good sports.
Yes.
And, like, they like to get out and they like to do that kind of
stuff. Very delightful people. Yeah. I loved your family.
At least they didn't come back and they were, you know, completely freaked out to the point to where they had to leave.
I love your family a lot, which is going to be great when I take over your life.
Mm-hmm.
When I make you vanish one of these days.
Right.
And then I become you.
Yeah.
All I need is Hugh Jackman hair and a scraggly beard. And I'm almost there with the beard.
Yeah, you're getting there with the beard.
Perfect.
You just need to... uncomb your hair a little bit. Yeah.
And I need to also make really bad jokes. Extremely bad jokes.
Look, I win every time.
No, you don't win.
Every time.
You win one time. And don't claim last night as a win because I fell asleep.
Uh-uh. I won.
No, that's not a win.
Yeah, we'll get into that later. But anyway, overall, it was a great night.
Mm-hmm.
Good Saturday night fun. My buddy Marcus and his fiance Crystal came by, hung out, and then they took us back to the hotel where we proceeded to go inside and pass out.
No oinkin' and boinkin'?
Nah.
No kid number 3?
No. No. That ass ain't happening, bro. You want more? You can always get more. Go to facebook.com/TheGregAndGregShow. It's a Greg and Greg Show. See you tomorrow. Boo out.
Join us next time on the Greg and Greg Show. Things will probably be just as weird.